Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all turn to the front of our outlines and let's declare the subject together of this conference. Christ longing. Brothers. Sisters. Hallelujah. Christ's deep longing and good pleasure. When you were told about this conference, did you ask yourself, what is Christ's deep longing and good pleasure? Well, praise the Lord for the college conference. Praise the Lord that we can know Christ's deep longing and good pleasure. You know, in Song 5, stanza 1, the church is Christ's deep longing and good pleasure. Praise the Lord that the church is Christ's deep longing and good pleasure. So, what is the church? Well, a basic definition of the church is not a place you go, but a group of people who have been called by God. Have you been called by God? The church is a group of people who have received His life and nature. Amen. The church is a group of people who know the joy of Christ living within them. And the church is a group of people who are being gained by and gain God more and more day by day. So we, the believers, are the church. And we, the believers, as the church, are Christ's deep longing and good pleasure. Hallelujah. So, you know, this weekend we want to see and we want to enter into Christ's deep longing. Christ deeply longs for and deeply yearns for the church because according to Ephesians 5, Christ loved the church. You know, our thought typically is that one of Galatians 2:20, and this is absolutely the case, right? Christ loved me and gave himself up for me. But this weekend, we want to see something of the church. And we want to see in Ephesians 5 that Christ not only loved me and gave himself up for me, but Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. And the book of Ephesians is very special in that it particularly unveils the church in the Bible. And it unveils the church as the eternal purpose of God, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is altogether the eternal purpose of God. And so here in Ephesians, Paul begins to present the church in a marvelous way. Right here in Ephesians 5, Paul describes the church, who Christ loves and who Christ gave himself up for, as wife. Wife, right? And so this is where we start entering into the divine thought. So I just want to read some verses from Ephesians 5. And this is verses 28 and 29. And they read, and I'm going to try to read a lot of verses tonight. I have a burden just to get into God's Word. Amen. And to get you into God's Word. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, pull them out. If you have them on your phones, take out your phone. And, you know, just follow along, jot down the verse references. But let's get the Word of God into us. So Ephesians 5, verses 28 and 29 read, in the same way, the husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church. So the key phrase in these two verses is the husbands also ought to love their own wives, even as Christ also the church. So here in Ephesians 5, verses 28 and 29, Paul is presenting Christ as the husband who loves the church, his wife. And then in verses 31 and 32, they read, for this cause a man shall leave father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak with regards to Christ and the church. Amen. So again, the key phrases here are, a man shall be joined to his wife. This mystery of marriage is great, but I, Paul, speak with regards to Christ and the church. So again, in these verses, Paul is presenting Christ as the husband and the church his wife. So just coming back to Song 5, you know, we can see this divine thought at the end of stanza 2 and stanza 5. And I'll just read the end of these two stanzas for us. So stanza 2, the end of it reads, "But deep in him did hide a heart of depth unfathom, fixed on a glorious bride." And the end of stanza 5 reads, "Till she, his bride, is raptured, his longed-for counterpart." So it's here that we start entering into the very divine thought of God and the deep longing within Christ. And here, tonight and this weekend, as we speak of Christ, we'll use words like bridegroom and husband. And as we speak of the church, we'll use words like bride and wife. And as we speak of the relationship between Christ and the church, we'll use phrases like universal couple and counterpart. And as we speak of God's word and God's relationship to man and man's relationship to God, we'll use words like romance, love, personal, affectionate. And these words and thoughts, these are the very words and thoughts used by God himself in his divine word to express to man his deep thought and his deep longing, which is to enter into a divine romance of God and man. Amen. So why don't we all turn to message 1 and let's read the title together. Amen. Message 1, the title. The Divine Romance. Again, the Divine Romance. Hallelujah for the Divine Romance. So this evening, I'll cover Roman numeral 1. And again, my burden is just to walk us through God's Word. We're just going to take a journey through the Bible so that we can see that the very focal point of the Word, from Genesis to Revelation, even from eternity to eternity, is this divine romance. And so Roman numeral 1 will lay a foundation for the entire weekend. And then in Roman numeral 2, Kevin will come up and he'll bring us into a portrait of this divine romance as seen in the Old Testament book, the Song of Songs. Hallelujah for the Song of Songs. And then beginning tomorrow morning, the brothers will bring us in finer detail into three key sections of the Word to help unfold this matter of the divine romance. So in message 2, we'll enter into Genesis 2. In message 3, Ephesians 5. And then in message 4, Revelation 21 and 22. So that we'll see from beginning to end, from eternity to eternity, God desires a divine romance. Amen. This is so wonderful. This is so exciting. You know, but before we get into the outline, I just wanted to spend a little bit of time to fellowship regarding our love for the Lord and our love for His Word. You know, I really believe that this weekend the Lord is visiting us. And He's not only visiting us, each one of us, He's courting us. He's wooing us, message by message, word by word, verse by verse. The Lord Jesus Christ is wooing us. You know, as I was getting into this, being brought back to the Gospels, there's a marvelous example. You know, in the Gospels, it wasn't the disciples that were coming to the Lord. It was the Lord coming to the disciples again and again and again, right? And even in spite of the context, you know, I just had a fresh appreciation for John 21. You know, here, the Lord three times inquired of Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Right? Do you love me? I mean, the Lord, by asking Peter this question, was courting him and was wooing him. And he was showing Peter that his desire is that Peter would love him with an affectionate love. Students, what about us? What about this weekend? Don't you believe the Lord is inquiring of us right now? Do you love me? Students, do you love me? Do you love me? Well, like Peter, our response should be, yes, Lord, I love you. So why don't we all stand up and let's declare three times, yes, Lord, I love you, in response to the Lord's calling. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we love you. You know, I was brought to this verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9, and I'll read it. It reads, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not come up in man's heart, things which God has prepared for those who love him. You know, this matter of the divine romance, Christ's deep longing, a universal couple, these may be matters that we've never seen. These may be matters that we've never heard of. These may be even things that have never come up in our heart. But God has prepared these things to those who love him. And as those who love him, God is unveiling these matters to us, right? Loving the Lord is the indispensable requirement. Students, this weekend, loving the Lord is the indispensable requirement. You know, we're not here just to believe in God, which we do. We're not here just to worship God, which we do. We're here to love God. Loving the Lord is the indispensable requirement. And to love him means that we set our entire being on him, right? It means to set our spirit, soul, and body with our heart, soul, mind, strength absolutely on him so that we could be 100% occupied by him, lost in him, in intimate fellowship with him, that we could enter into his very heart. Don't you want to enter into the heart of God? This is why you're here this weekend. Because God desires to unveil his very heart's desire to us. So even right now, we just need to pray. Lord, right now, I turn away from everything else, everything down the mountain, all the other things, all the schoolwork, all the other responsibilities, all the other preoccupations, and I turn my entire being to you. Well, in relation to God's Word, and again, my desire this evening is just to get us into God's Word and to get God's Word into us. And so toward His Word, I was inspired by Psalm 119 and the psalmist's thought there. You know, may we be those like the psalmist who love His Word, who incline our hearts to His Word, and who even treasure up God's Word in our hearts. As we go through the verses, I'll just read some of these verses in Psalm 119 in relation to loving His Word, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. All day long it is my musing. You know, here the word law is synonymous with God's Word. So this verse can also be understood. Oh, how I love your Word. All day long, it is my musing, right? In verse 140, your word is very pure, and your servant loves it. You know, in relation to inclining our hearts to his word, verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies. Again, the word here, testimonies, is synonymous with God's word, so the verse can be understood. Incline my heart to your word. And then verse 11, in my heart, I have treasured up your word. Amen. So as we read through all the points in Roman numeral 1, and as we get into all the accompanying verses, let's give ourselves to love the Lord with our entire being, and to love his word, to incline our hearts to his word, and to treasure up this word in our hearts. Amen. Okay, let's all together read Roman numeral 1. The Bible is a romance in the most pure and the most holy sense of a universal couple. Amen. So the entire Bible is a divine romance. And beginning tomorrow, we'll see that the Bible begins with a marriage. Adam and Eve in Genesis, and it ends with a marriage. of the Spirit and God's redeemed people in Revelation. You know, and even if you don't see it now, just keep praying that the whole weekend the Lord would grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that He would enlighten the eyes of your heart, that you could know and see Christ's deep longing. You know, I really believe that over the course of this whole weekend, our relationship with the Lord will become more romantic. And as we go down the mountain, we would be able to declare that we are romantic Christians in a divine romance with our wonderful God. So the verse reference is here. This is John 3:29. And I'll just read part of this verse. So John 3:29. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. So here in John, the Gospel of John, John the Baptist is referring to Christ as the bridegroom and the reborn and regenerated believers as the bride. You know, and it's this very bridegroom in chapter 3 that was speaking to Peter in chapter 21, right? Do you love me, right? As the bridegroom, he was there inquiring of Peter, do you love me? Marvelous, you know. And John chapter 3, this is a chapter on regeneration or being born again, right? Being reborn. And regeneration is just our receiving of the divine life of God, right? And actually, regeneration in our receiving of the divine life of God qualifies us to be the bride of Christ, right? Our receiving the divine life of God is our matching God, right? God came into humanity that humanity could receive the divine life. So as those that have received the divine life, there's something within us that matches God. We are qualified to be the bride of Christ. Do you believe that there's something in you that matches God? That's why we can call this a divine romance. Divinity came into humanity so that humanity could receive divinity. Hallelujah, we are qualified to be His bride. Well, then in Revelation 21, 2 and 9, I'll read these verses. Verse 2 says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And then verse 9, part of verse 9, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." So, you know, as the church is not a building that we go to, neither is the holy city, New Jerusalem, a physical city. You know, Revelation 1:1 tells us that the book of Revelation is a book of signs. You know, so here at the end of Revelation, at the very end of the Bible, we have a marvelous sign, the New Jerusalem as the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Right? So, as a book of signs, this is not a picture of a literal lamb marrying a physical city, but this is a picture of Christ as the Lamb of God marrying His corporate redeemed people as the holy city, New Jerusalem, the bride, the wife of Christ. So in John 3, you know, through regeneration, something of the divine life is received by man. But by the time you get to Revelation 21 and 22, you have the consummate and complete picture of man and corporate man fully matching God. So this is the marvelous picture that we see in Revelation 21 and 22. And this will be brought out in full Sunday morning in Message 4. So now let's read point A, and then why don't we have brothers on one and sisters on two. So we'll read A together. This holy romance is repeatedly revealed throughout the Old Testament. We see that God loves His people as a bridegroom loves his bride and desires to have a married life with His chosen people. Sisters too. Amen. So, excuse me, here we see that this divine romance is repeatedly revealed in the Old Testament. And then in point B, this romance is portrayed in the New Testament so that the divine romance can be seen both in the Old and the New Testament show us that the entire Bible is a divine romance. The entire Bible is a romantic book of God wooing us. And so I just want to read some verses in the Old Testament. Not all the references are on here, so you can either follow along, jot these references down, and even use them to pray over in the morning. Isaiah 54:5. For your maker is your husband. Jehovah of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. I got to read that again, right? For your maker is your husband. Jehovah of hosts is his name. Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marries a virgin, your sons will marry you. And with the joy of the bridegroom over the bride, your God will rejoice over you. Jeremiah 2:2. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says Jehovah, I remember concerning you the kindness of your youth, the love of your bridal days, when you followed after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. In another translation, this phrase, the love of your bridal days, is translated, how as a bride you loved me. Amen. And then Jeremiah 3:1, this is somewhat in the negative, you know, although God considered his people, the children of Israel, his wife, his children kept leaving him, you know. And so this is a bit in the negative, but you'll see God's unfailing love toward his people, right? So if a man divorces his wife, this is Jeremiah 3:1, I'll just read a couple phrases. If a man divorces his wife, and then at the end of the verse it says, yet return to me, declares Jehovah. So although the children of Israel were as a wife leaving, you know, God as the husband, still Jehovah was declaring, return to me. Jeremiah 3:14, again, return, O apostate children, declares Jehovah, for I am a husband to you. Right? Jeremiah 31:32. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by their hand to bring them out from the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was their husband, declares Jehovah. Ezekiel 16:8, then I passed by you and saw you, and then was your time a time of love. And I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. Indeed, I swore unto you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord Jehovah, and you became mine. Hosea 2:7, again, this is somewhat in the negative, but this is actually Israel speaking, right? And there's a phrase in here. It says, and return to my first husband. So this is Israel's realization as she left God. I need to return to my first husband. And then Hosea 2:19, and I will betroth you to myself. I will betroth you to myself forever. Indeed, I will betroth you to myself in righteousness and justice and in loving kindness and compassion. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for God's word. Right? This is God's word. Amen. And then point two, just quickly, I don't want to get too much into this. I'm already running out of time. But point two mentions that, you know, not only is Christ prophesied in the Old Testament, but the church is also predicted and spoken of in the Old Testament, though not in direct plain words, but rather in types, figures, and shadows. So, you know, a number of the men in the Old Testament are types of Christ. And so tomorrow we'll see this marvelous picture of Adam, you know, being a type of Christ. This is Romans 5:14, you know. So as Adam was a type of Christ, Eve, as his wife, was a type of the church. Well, in Genesis 24, Isaac here is a type of Christ, and so his wife, Rebecca, is a type of the church. And then in Ruth 4, Boaz typifies Christ, and his wife Ruth typifies the church. And I'll just mention briefly, because it's so marvelous. You know, it's really clear in Genesis 22:2 and among other verses in Genesis 24, you can really see that Isaac is a type of Christ. You know, in Genesis 22:2, God is speaking to Abraham, and he commands Abraham to take now your son, your only son whom you love, and offer him to me, right? Here, you know, Abraham offering Isaac is a type of God the Father offering his son, the beloved, right? His son, his only begotten son, who is his beloved, right? Offered on our behalf, right? So as Isaac is a type of Christ, so his wife Rebecca is a type of the church. And just quickly, there's also a number of aspects that show us that Rebecca is a type of the church. But in particular, I just appreciated, you know, the birthplace of Rebecca was a world of idols, you know. So Rebecca, as a type of the church, typifies the church as those being called out of the world, right? Hallelujah, we were called out of the world. And we were brought to our wonderful Isaac, right? And then Ruth, in Ruth 4, you know, I'll just read something. Stated simply as a type of the church, Ruth was a natural person, a fallen person, a person involved in sin, but Ruth was a redeemed person, a person united with a new husband, and a person who brought Christ to humanity, right? This sounds like us, right? As the church, we were natural persons, fallen persons, persons involved in sin. But hallelujah, we're redeemed persons, persons united to a new husband. And actually, Ruth is involved in the genealogy of Christ. You can read this in Matthew. So as Ruth brought forth Christ in his first coming, so too will the church bring forth Christ in his second coming. Amen. So we see these marvelous pictures. Okay, let's go on and let's read B together, and let's alternate brothers 1, sisters 2, brothers 3.
This romance is portrayed in the New Testament.
Brothers.
Each of the four Gospels presents Christ as the bridegroom coming for the bride.
Amen. Hallelujah. So in the New Testament, this romance is also portrayed. And so in the Gospels, you know, there's no doubt that the Gospels gives us a full record of Christ as our Savior. But in these verses here, we'll see that the Gospels also tell us that Christ has come as the bridegroom for his bride. And again, I just want to read some verses quickly. This is in Matthew. Sorry, let me find these verses. So in Matthew 9:15, and Jesus said to them, the sons of the bride chamber cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast, right? Again, this is in reference to Christ as the bridegroom. And then I'll just read the beginning of John 3:29 again. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. And then in the epistles, Christ in the church is also portrayed. And again, we'll see this in full in message 3 in relation to Ephesians 5. But I just wanted to read 2 Corinthians 11:2. This is a marvelous verse. And this is Paul speaking on behalf of Christ as well, you know. And this was Paul's ministry. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God. For I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. You know, here Paul is exercising the jealousy of a husband over a wife, right? This is the jealousy of God. And his ministry was a ministry to betroth the believers. So the you here is a corporate you, right? He was betrothing the corporate you, the church, to one husband, Christ. You know, and if you don't know this word betroth, a definition is to enter into a formal agreement to marry. We're in the age of engagement. And we're reading the word and the ministry that betroths us to Christ. This weekend, as you're under the speaking of these messages, you are being betrothed to one husband, Christ. Hallelujah. And then again in Revelation, We already mentioned this a little bit, but I'll just repeat this in Revelation 21 and 22, the last two chapters of the Bible. We see the ultimate consummation of the entire Bible is a universal couple. Hallelujah. So from beginning to end, God and man, husband and wife. And then I'll read C quickly. So C reads, throughout all the centuries, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit has been working to gain a people to be his bride. This is what God has been doing. The triune God, the Father and the Son and the Spirit, throughout all the centuries, throughout all the millennia, have been doing this one thing, to gain a people to be his bride. You know, as best as I can understand it, you know, the only frame of reference I have is my own wedding day. You know, I got married June 29th, 2012, right? And even that morning, I was just waiting for that call, you know? I was in the hotel room. I had my suit on, and I was just waiting. I was waiting for my bride to be prepared, right? But not only just June 29th, right? That entire week was unto that one day, right? Everything I did that week was in view to June 29th, right? But not only that week, that entire month. You know, the month of June. That's the month I'm getting married, right? The whole month I was occupied and preoccupied with this wedding, right? But not even June. I got engaged in March. You know, before March, I was speaking about marriage with now my wonderful wife, right? And so I was consumed for the beginning of 2012, even before 2012. Anyway, I won't go into all that, but I was just consumed, right? Everything I did was with this marriage in view. What about God? How long has God been waiting? Everything he's doing is in view toward this. Your being here this weekend, your meeting the Christian club on campus, your attending the college that you now attend, your being born into the family that you were born into, your being raised in the city you were raised in, your being born at the time you were born in, was because God desires a bride and is doing everything as a triune God to prepare his bride. This is what he's doing, right? And in Matthew 28:19, I love that this verse is referenced here, Matthew 28:19. Go therefore, and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, not only do we need to be those that are enjoying Christ as the husband, we need to go therefore. We need to go to our friends. We need to go to that very person sitting next to us in our freshman class. And we need to speak to them about the divine romance. We need to speak to them what does not come up in man's heart. And we need to help them to realize that God's purpose and his deep longing is to have a bride, a corporate group of people that love him and that match him. And we can go and we can speak to them. We can participate in this betrothing ministry by betrothing our friends and our family to one husband, Christ. And we can baptize them into the very person of the triune God. And if you yourself have not yet been baptized, or you would like to be rebaptized into the triune God and renew your vow to the Lord, hallelujah, you'll have the time this weekend. You'll have the opportunity this Sunday. So keep it in your heart. Ask the Lord, right? May we be so fresh with our love this weekend before the Lord. Okay, let's all together, let's read 1 and 2 and then D, and then we'll have Kevin come up. So all together, 1 and 2 and D.
Amen. How about we declare, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord. Again. Lord. Again. Lord. Oh, we need to be the romantic Christians. Okay, just hit your neighbor next to you and tell, do you love the Lord? It's funny we are talking about that. But brothers and sisters, we need to love the Lord. So now we are coming now to a focus in books. Like Ben said, this whole conference is on the Divine Romans. And now we're going to focus on different books. And in this last time that I have, we're going to focus on the Song of Songs. Oh, if you have never read Song of Songs, you need to read it! You need to read Song of Songs. Song of Songs is very particular. You know, in the placing of Song of Songs, the ones who wrote the Bible, they never knew where to place it. It is not a history book. It's not even a book of law. It has no place. But they placed it right there because it's full of God's heart's desire. You know, Solomon, who wrote this book, he wrote 1,005 songs. 1,005 songs. This is in 1 Kings 4:35. He wrote 1,005 songs. And the precious, the best, you know, the cream of the cream was this book. The Song of Songs. Satisfaction of satisfactions. You know, when we come to this book, all you could see, what God desires us is that we would love Him. And as Ben said, the Lord is not doing anything else. He is wooing us. Even you're coming up. Can you testify? Did the Lord not woo you? Did the Lord not attract you? Did the Lord not captivate you? Oh, brothers and sisters, the Lord is wooing us. The Lord is attracting us. So this Song of Songs is just about a relationship between God and man. And this relationship is between an individual believer. You know, the Song of Songs is not talking about something corporate, but it's talking about our love for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, for us to love the church, oh, we need to love the one who loves the church. And we need to have a relationship with Him. Oh, we need to open our heart to Him. This is what we need to see in the book of Song of Songs. So I hope this week, this weekend, will be a weekend of falling in love. Ask your neighbor, do you want a love upgrade? Okay, ask your neighbor, are you satisfied with your love relationship with the Lord? Oh, Lord, I want to love you afresh. How about we declare that? Oh, Lord. You know, love doesn't have a formula. There's no doctrine about love. You just have to tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Try it every time. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. You know, the more you tell Him, something rises from within. You know, we'll see in this book, something just rises, brings us to our spirit. Oh, and we love the Lord. So this is the book of Song of Songs. The Lord wooing us, the Lord attracting us. And this book shows us the way we need to be properly satisfied with God. Oh, brothers and sisters, are you satisfied with God? When you meet with God, are you satisfied? When you leave the time by spending with the Lord, do you say, oh, I love Him? Or is it just a general relationship? Okay, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need this other thing. Hasta la vista, I'm gone. I'm gone. You know, I like what the brothers, we were fellowshipping earlier, and they said, you know, and this is one thing all of us need to check with ourselves. You know, can you spend 5 minutes with the Lord without asking Him for anything? Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord, there's a weekend of practicing. We're here to learn. We're here to touch the Lord in a genuine way. You know, in Revelation 2:4, You know, it says, but I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. And there's a footnote. I love this quote. Nothing but love can keep us in a proper relationship with the Lord. Saints, there's no shortcut in knowing what God wants. There's no other way. There's not you working for something. There's not you serving for something. It's not even wanting to know the Bible just for something. Oh, you need to know the person. You need to know the person of the Lord. When you know the person of the Lord, he attracts us. He woos us. And he brings us into himself. So this is what we want to see this weekend. Lord, Lord, this evening, Lord, this weekend, attract me. We need to pray again. Lord, attract my heart. Lord, Lord, on, you know, in my campus, Lord, in that job, in my family, I'm attracted by many things. And Lord, sometimes I even forget you. But Lord, this weekend, Lord, meet me. We need to have a desperation. You know, I can echo Ben about loving my wife. There's no like, should I? No. I love you. You just love. You just declare it. The more you declare it, the more the love rises in our being. The beginning of love in everyone toward the Lord is a vision of his person. You know, when we love someone, we're loving a person. We're not loving a thing. You're not loving a matter, but we are loving the Lord. Who is the Lord to you in your experience? The Lord may be the shepherd. Do you love him as the shepherd? You know, the Lord is the king, we'll see in Song of Songs. Do you love him as the king? The Lord may be a healer to you. Do you love him as a healer? The more the Lord appears to you, oh, the more you see his worth, the more you see his preciousness, and the more you just fall in love with him. This is our desire this weekend with all the brothers, that, oh, our love for the Lord will be stirred up. And we say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. I don't want to tell you this, that. I don't want to tell you, give me this, that. Lord, I just want to love you because you loved me, right? He loved us. He loved us. You know, I was singing this hymn, you know, a few times. And this is hymn 447. The Lord brought me to this hymn. Verse 4 says, when I hated, thou didst love me, sheds for me thy precious blood. Still thou lovest, lovest ever. Shall I not love thee, my God? When I hated, you know, when you left him just to do that assignment when he was waiting for you. When you're told to come to a meeting and the Lord touched you and he said, Lord, I'm not going to do it this time. I'm going to go and do whatever I want. When you're encouraged to come in a coordination with young people, no, I don't want to do it. Well, the Lord was there. The Lord was there. But I like this. Still thou lovest. Brothers and sisters, whatever condition you're in, the Lord loves you. And the Lord is courting you. And he wants a relationship with you. Why not let him in? By telling him, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, forget about the last 24 hours. Lord, right now, I want to love you. I may not have another weekend. I just want to love you this weekend. I have this moment in time. I just want to love you. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, I encourage you. Right? Wake up a little bit early. Change a little bit early. Look for the Lord a little bit early. Just touch him. Touch him. Call on him. Tell him so many times, I love him. Right? And the Lord will attract us to him. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 2 all together. The Song of Songs is a marvelous and vivid portrait. Amen. All together, let's read A. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. So this first phrase, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Okay, how about let's emphasize some of these phrases. For example, let me kiss me, let him kiss me, let him, So how about let's try. Let's emphasize let. And then we say the phrase, let him kiss me with the kisses of mouth. Let's emphasize. How about, go. Let him kiss me with the kisses of... Okay, let's do him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. How about kiss me? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. How about kisses? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh, brothers and sisters, you can dwell on this verse tomorrow morning. This phrase, oh Lord, kiss me. You know, in the Living Translation, it says, let him kiss me again and again and again. Oh, the Lord wants to kiss us. The Lord wants this living, fresh romance with all of us. You know, this matter of kissing is amazing. You know, Song of Songs is written in a believer's standpoint of view. This seeker is already saved. This seeker loves the Lord. And so she's tired of having a general relationship with the Lord. And so now she is yearning. She is longing for the Lord to kiss her. And so this is what we need to do. We need to pray, Lord, grant me this yearning. Grant me this longing to be kissed by you. And he says, let me kiss him. The seeker knows there's only one him. There's no other him. He says, he doesn't say, let him, you know, let me kiss the Lord. He just says, let me kiss him. Because in her experience, there's only one him. Brothers and sisters, in your experience, is there only one him? H-I-M? I hope. Lord, draw me to only you. Lord, not to the many things I need to do. Not to the many matters that I need to take care of. Lord, just draw me to you, him. It's personal. It's affectionate. It's intimate. It is spiritual. And then the kisses is just many kisses. This is a personal and affectionate relationship with the Lord. And this is what we all need. This is God's way. God's way, he only takes one way. And the way he takes is a personal and relationship way. The Lord never takes a way of movement. You know, many times, college ones always want to ask questions. You know, what school should I go to? Oh, you know, what car should I buy? Or sometimes, what clothes should I wear? Or what place should I go? But the Lord never takes the way of movement. He takes the way of a personal and affectionate time. The more you spend time with him, the more you know what he desires. This is a check. If you, in your relationship with the Lord, right, are asking for many things, going ask, you know, oh, I need this. Fellowship is good. But first, have we touched the Lord? Have we come to him? Oh, brothers, we need to come to him. Every morning, he is waiting. Tomorrow morning, he's waiting for you. Just come. To him. So this is the only way he takes. Give you examples. Look at Peter. How did the Lord approach Peter? Lord approached Peter in the Sea of Galilee. He didn't just come from on high as the mighty God and said, Peter! No. He came down, he became a man, and he came in a personal and an affectionate way. And that's how he wooed Peter. How about John? John was one who lay on the Lord's breast. It just shows you the same thing. The Lord took, even in contacting John, it was just personal and affectionate. How about this verse in Exodus 33:11? It says, Jehovah would speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his companion. Brothers and sisters, you cannot Instagram the Lord. You cannot Snapchat the Lord. You need to put the device down and look at him at his eyes. You just need to say, Lord, I'm here. I want to come encumbered. I just want to come and see who you really are. I want to be brought into your heart. You know, here we are talking about Christ's deep longing. The only way, the only route is a personal and affectionate time with him. So this is our encouragement this weekend. Will you not spend time? Will you not come to the Lord in a personal and affectionate time? Okay, let's read point one. How about brothers, point one? Amen. This very Christ. Amen. Amen. Sisters, after. Amen. Amen. All together on three. Our yearning. Amen. Amen. This is what God desires in this verse. Let him kiss me. I just continue with the verses here. He says, verse 3, if you have your Bible, it's good to be open. Song of Songs, chapter 1, 2, and 3. Verse 3 says, your anointing oils have a pleasant fragrance. Your name is like ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. So here, the love is better than wine. Christ's person, Christ's cheering love is better than any world wine, is better than anything else, is better than the Instagram wine, it is better than the Facebook wine. His love, his cheering love is better than anything. Oh, brothers and sisters, we should not exchange our time with the Lord, our love with the Lord, with anything else. Oh, even as you're listening, pray, Lord, rekindle my love toward you. Oh, I want my love, burning brightly all the way for you. And then the next verse says, okay, it's the next Roman point. Okay, let's read B together. Draw me. The King has brought me into his. Amen. How about we declare the first phrase? Draw me, we will run after you together. Draw me. Amen. Draw me. Let him kiss me. Draw me. Oh, Lord, draw me. We need to tell the Lord again and again. Maybe in this message. Maybe right now you're sitting and you're not drawn. Just tell the Lord, draw me. We just tell him. The Lord wants to hear this. The Lord desires to draw us this weekend so that we can touch, so that we can see something of his deep longing. We will run. This is very particular in this section. She says, draw me. And then, you know, in proper English, it should say, draw me and I will run after you. It's supposed to say that. But in the seeker's experience, once she's drawn, others are drawn. She has companions. You know, even our burden is this matter of pursuing with companions. I was touched. One test of why we don't have companions is that we're not drawn enough. If I'm in love with the Lord, and if I'm drawn with the Lord, there'll be the we. There'll be the companions. They're the ones who want to run together, loving the Lord. You know, also, I'll read further. You know, the next phrase, which I'll touch also, but I'll just jump. The King has brought me to his chambers. She said, we will be glad and rejoice in you. So it says, the King has brought me into his chambers. Then he says, we will be glad. Again, now you look at it, if you know English, it's like, well, if the King just brought me, then it's just me who's going to be glad and rejoice. But it's the same thing. The more the Lord brings us into his chamber, that is, when the King brings us into the Holy of Holies, into our spirit, right? Oh, even the ones that we pursue with, they are drawn. Oh, brothers and sisters, how this works, I don't know, but this is the pure word. And it's true. In my experience, the more you pursue, the more you love the Lord, it affects others. Brothers and sisters, it affects others. I know some testimonies of ones who just love the Lord, and others just start following people, start following them. And not because they're special, it's that because they love the Lord. So this is our experience. The more we are drawn to the Lord, the more others can run, can pursue loving the Lord together with us. Oh, and the king wants to bring us into his chamber. Oh, the king, brothers and sisters, tomorrow morning, meet the king. The more you love him, right? Even the more you say, Lord Jesus, you love me. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. You're brought to your spirit. You're brought into the chamber. The chamber here, in another version, says the chamber. It says, the king has brought me into his bedroom. You know, when you're in a house, since when do you invite a guest to your bedroom? You cannot just bring, you know, like I invite, you know, Jason Ting, oh, okay, come into my house. You know, my bedroom's there, let's go, vamos. You know, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But look here, you love the Lord. You touch the Lord. You touch the Lord's heart. Lord Jesus, I love you. Immediately, this is our experience. The more you say, Lord Jesus, I love you. The more you tell the Lord, I love you. You come to your spirit. The Lord brings you into his chamber. Amen. Then you don't, okay, after when you're in the chamber, don't run away. Spend the time with him. Lord, I love you. You know, a morning revival starts with this. Oh, Lord, my experience. Oh, Lord. Lord, I love you. You know, I'm still in my mind. Still thinking about, you know, my daughter kicked me out of the bed, you know. I'm there. Oh, Lord, you know, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord. Then the more I say it, my experience, it rises. Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, then I come to his word. We'll see further as the conference goes on. Then we come to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I love you. I touch the word. Oh, I love the Lord even more. I'm brought into the chamber. I'm there with the Lord. Lord, I love you. I come to his word. I just enjoy the Lord in the word. He speaks something. I'm reading the word. Something jumps up. A rhema word that I need for that day. A living message. Hot bread. Just for me. Just for that day. Why? I loved him. I was drawn by him. I came and touched his word. He brought me into his chamber. I'm in his word. And he reveals his heart. Oh, brothers and sisters, this should be a normal experience. And if it's not, don't be discouraged. This is why we're here this weekend. Me and you, we're here to learn. Oh, Lord, I'm not satisfied of my love toward you. I want an upgrade. Do you? Oh, saints, we want to upgrade in our love toward the Lord so that every day we'll come into the king's chamber, you know, and he'll reveal what is in his heart. How about brothers on one? Draw me personal. We want to be drawing. Amen. Sisters on two. That is so. See, this word, we need to build up. It's something, you know, wherever we are, that's why I'm saying don't never be discouraged. It's something we build up. You know, I was really touched, the beginning of this Song of Songs, Let Him Kiss Me. It's the seeker was in a general relationship and she was tired. So then she wanted and she had this turn. She had, this is where we're brought. Oh, the goal of every time we spend with the Lord is that we would be in his chambers. We would be in our spirit. And we will be there fellowshipping and having an intimate time with the Lord. You know, I was touched by two things. Another song that came up today as I was spending time with the Lord is just, you know this song. It's not in a hymn, but we all know it. Lord, keep my heart. Stanza 3 says, Lord, keep my love burning brightly for you. A love never dwindling, always hot for you. A love shining brighter all the way for you. A love so fresh like the day I first touched you. We can also use this song tomorrow in our coming to the Lord. Lord, I want my love shining brighter and brighter. Lord, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I just want my love to be fresh like the first day I touched you. Oh, brothers, you know, sisters, we need to have this heart. The secret of gaining, of seeing, of appreciating Christ's deep longing is this matter. We need to spend personal an affectionate time with the Lord. How about, let's stand up. Let's all stand up. Amen. And let's sing this stanza, a cappella, Lord, keep my heart. Just the chorus. I think we all know. Your love constrains me. Let's just sing it. Your love constrains me to give my all to you. Lord, I can't help it.
If this is your first conference, I'd like to let you know that tonight's meeting is not over. Actually, God's speaking needs to be completed.